Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey, fuckers. How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christine Hutchinson.
And just a heads up, make sure you're following us on social media. That's not just for our own narcissism. It's really so you don't miss dates. There's a lot of things that we post there that we don't have time to go over on the podcast. You'll never miss if we're in your city, if we have something else to offer.
Corinne shows pictures of her butt.
Sometimes.
I read conversations of your terrible dating app exchanges. I mean, you're really missing out on a whole new world if you're
missing,
not following us.
You know, Instagram stories about Alfred. It really just like a plethora of must-know information. So as a reminder, I'm at Philanthropy Gal on all social media platforms.
And I am Christina Hutch.
And additionally, if you guys could enjoy the podcast, I know it's the holiday times and, you know, in past years we've asked for a financial donation. We don't need that now, and that's very much because of you guys. So thank you so much.
You
helped two women get into business, and you know that's a hard thing.
Thank you.
The nicest thing you can do for us, if you want to personally gift us with something for the holiday season, if you haven't done so, head over and rate and review our podcast. Ratings and reviews help to get us to the top of the charts, because you know there's been a lot of podcasts that are shockingly like ours that have emerged lately.
Really?
And I would like to keep ours on top of those podcasts.
And too, the higher we are on the charts, the more people can discover us, and it makes me happy.
And then it makes us be able to do more things that you can then enjoy. So it's super, super important. And if you've already rated and reviewed, number one, thank you. And then you can just, you know, if you pop it up on like a Twitter or Instagram story, just maybe another friend will learn about it. And that's all there is to it. It's very much a word of mouth podcast. All right. So we're going to head on to the news section for today. Today, we're going to do two news items. Because I wanted to half-ass two things instead of doing one thing correctly.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, it was International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers Day, which is, I mean, that should be every day, really. But it's something we don't talk about. There was a really interesting tweet that was, it was retweeted by Whores of Yore, which is one of my favorite Twitter accounts.
Me too.
But the original tweet came from Leeds Trinity University. And I was like, you usually can't hear that. And, there was a doctor who was speaking about it, and it's basically like, you know, as a society, we have dehumanized sex workers and thought of and think of them as less than. I think that's, you know, I think I've definitely been guilty of that. It's and not all forms of sex workers. I think we're very selective in the sex workers. Obviously, I'm more aware of it now. But it's just something to be cognizant of, because we've all pretty much in adulthood enjoyed the work of sex workers.
Oh yeah.
And we need to make sure that they are being protected, because the rate of violence is highest among sex workers and then homeless people, because as society we unfortunately view them as less than, but they're obviously still human beings and deserve to be protected and have the same laws and, you know, protect them and rights as everybody else. So that's just something to constantly think of. And we've talked about this before, like paying for porn. That's something that I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna do that in 2019.
I was like, that's like, I finally found something that I wanted to subscribe to, because that was my problem.
Oh, you did?
Like, I don't want to pay for like Brazzers or something that's like also
right.
just like some male run like ridiculousness where the actual sex workers aren't getting money,
and you get like an 18 minute video instead of a 15 minute video. Like, mm-hmm. that's not gonna do much for me.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's the kind of thing. Like, I think it's like the best thing is to like actually find like a female porn star Or just sex worker, doesn't have to be a star, who you're into, and maybe like give some money to that person, or a female run site. It probably your best options, because like, yeah, like paying for like XTube isn't really helping anything. Fuck, or like YouPorn either. So that's the number one. And then number two is, who got Me Too this week?
Oh, who is it? Wait, let me guess.
Come on, Big Bird. You're the next guest on You Got Me Too.
Run.
This week it's returning champion Woody Allen. Whoa. Welcome back, Woody. This one is like ridiculous, because like we've all always known he was like a sexual predator, but it was oddly part of his charm. I'm using that loosely.
Yeah, you're not
wrong.
But
it was like part of it, you know? And, you know, kind of like we saw with Louis, where when he got Me Too'd, he was in the process of like making some kind of like a masturbation oriented film.
Yeah.
Woody's just telling us in his films what he's been doing the whole damn time.
And everyone's like, "Oh,
it's an open secret.
He's so dark and like mysterious."
Yeah.
Not really.
I mean, I love Woody Allen. He is one of my favorite directors. I'm so glad that that was another choice for a name, not for Alfred, but if I got another dog, I really did want a dog named Woody Allen. That was my goal, always, to have a dog named Woody Allen and a dog named Alfred Hitchcock. obviously not doing that, but it just, things keep coming out of the woodwork. So this one is a model named Christina Engelhart, and when she was 16 and an aspiring model in the 70s, which I do want to add, it was really a different world in the 70s, as far as like, I mean, people were fucking drunk driving and like not even like making a thing about it.
People were smoking cigarettes on airplanes.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, and I think we do need to be like, okay, well times have changed, and we can't hold 1976 people and happenings to 2018 standards. I think that is important. And this was a consensual, you know, as consensual as it can be when you're a 16-year-old woman, affair. You know, this woman thought she was, you know, Woody Allen's girlfriend. These kind of things. They would have threesomes.
And this was in the 70s?
Yeah.
But how old was Woody Allen?
He was like 41, whoa, I think.
Is that hebephilia when you're 16, or is that 12 to 15?
I think 16 is like the age when like a girl looks like a woman. So I wouldn't put that in the hebephilia.
Full figured at 16. Terrifying.
Yeah, I did not look that much different than I look now when I was 16. So, and he wasn't, yeah, it's just weird because, you know, she was definitely like, obviously there's a power dynamic going on there. There's an age dynamic. There's a money dynamic. There's Hollywood dynamic.
So is she speaking out about this now, or are people just talking about it now?
She shared the story, and it's just another one of these things where people, I saw some video the other day where people were like, there is no gray area in consent. And I'm like, no, there's lots of gray area in consent. Unfortunately, that's why it's so difficult to go to the police with things like sexual assault and rape. And also they don't handle it well.
Well, because their version of gray area a lot of times is different than the actual versions of gray area that occur between two people. And then sometimes there's no gray area. Sometimes it's just rape.
Yeah. And I think basically it's like this woman, Christina Engelhart, kind of coming to a realization that she was just part of a pattern that Woody Allen was following. I think that's
what she's saying.
Yeah.
She's not saying ban his shit and arrest. Like,
no,
she's
not
calling
for that. She has no regrets about the affair.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. We were talking about this the other day. Our guest during Guys We Fest, Kaz, was saying when she was like 14 or 15, she was...
Or even younger.
I think she might have been 12. I got to look back.
She was young. I remember, because I mean, I was alarmed.
Yeah. And it was, I believe the man was 31, around that age.
Right.
And she, kind of everyone in the audience, because it was a live show, they were like, I was like, okay, well, wait, hold on. Maybe she, whatever. And then Corinne, you were like, that's weird, right? Didn't that feel weird? Isn't that guy a predator? And Kaz was like, I mean, I loved him and I don't regret it. And I look back on him fondly. I'm like,
right.
I mean,
that's a thumbs up for sure for her.
That happens.
Because I'm glad that she was not traumatized in any way. I am going to stand by that. I don't think any 12-year-old can have a healthy emotional or sexual relationship with a 30-year-old man.
One time I was 16, I tried to hook up with a 25-year-old in a hot tub, and I really wanted him to do stuff with me. But I'm looking back, I'm real glad he didn't.
Yeah. And I was like, girls, guys in their 20s are also, I mean, like, that's like almost like dealing with a baby. Like, maybe I would even consider a 16-year-old like woman having sex with a 25-year-old man. Maybe like, you're a pedophile as the woman. Like, that's how immature fucking 25-year-old dudes are.
LOL.
But anyway, so yeah, it's just you know, this constant stream of like, let's have a conversation about everything. I don't know. Maybe at this point, maybe just fucking, let's just think more before we fuck people from here on out. I don't even know what to do.
Yeah. I've spent a lot of my years not thinking before I fuck people. And you know what? I feel like 2019, I'm going to start thinking before I fuck people.
It's the new year. Fuck smart. But don't fuck. It's not how much you fuck, it's how smart you fuck.
Yeah, fuck smarter. Today's show,
yeah, 2019
is sponsored by Talkspace. Fuck smarter. Go to Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. Even if you're lying in bed next to a person, you're like, should I have done that? I don't know. Message your Talkspace therapist. Can't imagine fitting another appointment into your life because you're so busy having sexual intercourse? Good for you. I'm super happy. Well, with Talkspace, therapy is as easy as sending your therapist a message. There's no commutes, no leaving the office, no judgments. Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life's challenges we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, just go to Talkspace.com/GWF. Use code GWF to get $45 off your first month and show your support for this show. That's Talkspace and .com/GWF. Use code GWF.
Come see us live.
Please.
Canada, Winnipeg, we're going to be at Rumors Comedy Club Thursday, January 24th through Saturday, January 26th for 5 shows. That one we've been talking about for a good amount of time. So hopefully you have your tickets. It's going to be cold. That is the reschedule from 2018. So I guess that'll be the Bridget Bishop. Yeah, that's what we promised them. So
yeah, it'll be the Bridget Bishop tour.
That'll be the Bridget Bishop tour. And then Raleigh, North Carolina, we're going to be at Good Nights February 7th through 9th. That might be something different. That might, oh, I don't know.
We can't figure it out.
We haven't really talked about
it
yet.
We don't know what we want to give you yet.
It's still 2018, so who knows what the fuck we're doing. And then
Portland Podcast Festival. We are going to be doing a live episode of Guys We Fucked on Valentine's Day, February 14th. So come out to that.
We were like, yeah, we're going to be free that day for sure.
Yeah, ain't got nothing going on Valentine's Day. Go to sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com/tours for all other dates. And then we have some individual shows coming up.
Yes. New Year's Eve, New York City. Again, that's December 31st if you somehow lost track of the days. I am doing a New Year's Eve show with my good platonic friend, John Campanelli. Aww. It is called A Platonic New Year's Eve with Corinne Fisher and John Campanelli. That is at New York Comedy Club East Village location. That's on East 4th Street. Tickets are $19 with the code, all one word, not dating. The show is 16 and up, so it's a great option if you're under 21 for something to do on New Year's. It's at 6 p.m. so you can go see the show as an activity, and then you can do whatever the fuck else you were gonna do to be disappointed on New Year's Eve. And it's gonna be a great time. We have some really fun people booked so far. We're gonna book some more people. Mike Vecchione will be joining us, who is a phenomenal comedian. Katie Hannigan, Josh Accardo, etc. So get those tickets before they sell out. We promise you a night you won't forget.
Oh yeah,
unless you black out.
Yeah. And then don't black out that early, guys. 6 p.m. Come on, get your life together. Friday, January 4th. Pretty sure that's January 4th. It's Friday, I know that. 7:30 p.m., Wendy Starling and I are having a very special Wendy Starling birthday edition of Glamapuss at Zinc Bar, 82 West 3rd Street in the West Village. Tickets are $15 online, $20 at the door. They're going to sell out. Go. And don't be a whore, or be a whore. I'm just trying to rhyme.
And thank you so much to Lola. Guys, support for today's show comes from Lola. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, and liners. And now they offer sex products too. Yay! Including ultra-thin lubricated condoms that are made of natural rubber latex and individually tested for contraception and STI protection. I love Lola. I really love their products. I like their tampons. I love their, you know, pussy wipes, which is not the official name. And a really cool thing about Lola is I know, even though I've had my period for over 15 years,
oh my God,
I still forget when it's going to fucking come. And yeah, I'll inevitably only have like one tampon or pad left in my house. And then, you know, you have to just really bleed slowly or make
or
a run
into
someplace.
A wash rag.
Make a run someplace. So you can do a period subscription, and you can also add the Sex by Lola to your period subscription, which is kind of just a fun way to, I mean, make sure that, I guess, you're having enough sex, that you're going through condoms. And also if you need, you know, lube, anything like that, like you'll always have the stock that you need, and you don't have to do a weird thing where you're like standing in like in the aisle at a sex store. I don't know if you feel comfortable about that. It's not that I feel uncomfortable buying the products. It's that I feel uncomfortable when people at sex stores try to come up and help me, because then I'm going to remember their face when I'm fucking. And I've never seen a person at a sex store that I actually wanted to fuck.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just always, you have some kind of a horn through your ear, and I love that. You do you, but that is not for me, okay? Yeah. So I'm going to need to not deal with a face tattoo or a horn through your ear.
You don't want to fuck Post Malone?
Yeah, when I'm about to come. Like, that's just not, because I
probably think that you are better now.
Yeah, like, I just want to have my own personal experience buying whatever sex products I'm buying. That's just me, you know? So yeah, I use these products all the time. Definitely make sure to be using organic tampons, which Lola is, because otherwise you're just literally putting toxins into your own vagina and creating micro tears. But, you know, don't worry about that. There's enough other things to worry
to dive
about. And get it delivered right to your door. It's well designed, it's discreet, and you have a personal variety of stuff, which you wouldn't get in a regular box. You can have like as many light days as you want, if you're just, you want heavy blood flow all the time, in case you get stuck on the subway or something. It's going to be great. I'm a big convenience fan, and so I love Lola. And we're going to give 40% off all subscriptions when you visit MyLola, that's MYLOLA.com, and enter the code GWF40 when you subscribe.
Now that your pussy's plugged up, or your dick is lubed, or whatever the fuck you do from Lola, it's time to make dinner. Blue Apron. With the holidays fast approaching, meal prep is the last thing you want on your plate. That was a good plate pun. But what if cooking delicious, wholesome meals was easy? It can be with Blue Apron. Blue Apron delivers fresh, seasonally inspired ingredients that you can use to cook easy-to-follow, chef-designed recipes in as little as 20 fucking minutes. And don't worry, calm the fuck down, bitches. Blue Apron makes it easy to select recipes for a variety of diets, including many vegetarian options. I like Blue Apron because I didn't think I could cook something like sesame chicken. But you know what? I can. And it's not that fucking hard. It helps that the cards have photos because, you know, your girl ain't a big reader. I read. It's just the photos make it a lot easier for me. And these recipe cards are something you can keep till the end of time. And you could go to the grocery store, rebuy the ingredients if you so wish, and remake that sesame chicken to impress the man you are fucking, or woman, or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're fucking a sex doll. Impress it with your Blue Apron meals. The website and the app make it really easy to pick the plans you want. And if you don't like what's coming up in your Blue Apron box, you can be like, all right, I want something else. And then they'll just switch it for you. Like, they give you options, which I really like. I like choices. I'm a lady of choices. And the best part is, I learned to cook recipes I wouldn't even have thought to have tried. Fucking dumplings and shit, pizzas. Like, I knew these things had to have been made by hand by somebody. I just didn't know that my hands were the ones that could make them. But now they can with Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free at blueapron.com/GWF. That is blueapron.com/GWF. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Guess what time it is? It's time for Monster. I cannot believe they bought another ad, honestly. It's like I was trying. I mean, I didn't want to lose this sponsor, but
I didn't either.
I was really playing with fire here. You know what?
Much
I'm
like
amped up because I had one today, and by one, I mean a quarter of one, because that's all I can handle as someone who doesn't drink coffee. For many of us, the day doesn't fucking start until we get that morning energy boost.
Goddamn right.
And we kick down our side table and we go, hello, day. I'm about to fuck you up the ass. I'm talking about coffee. And now there's a new way to enjoy your daily cup of Joe, thanks to Cafe Monster. That's so cute and fan. I just always see like a little French like monster from like All Real Monsters enjoying. Yeah, because one of them wears a beret.
Yeah.
The flavors that it's available in are vanilla, mocha, salted caramel. Those are actually all good. I don't usually like flavored shit, and I've tried them all, and they really are. It's not too strong. Good amount. Doesn't feel like a cheap manufactured flavor. I do like it. Cafe Monster is shaking up the ready-to-drink coffee category with indulgent gourmet coffee that's only 190 calories. Actually, the vanilla one's only 180, but who's counting? Not to mention with 150 milligrams of caffeine from coffee, beans, B vitamins, and coffee fruit extract, Cafe Monster offers a simplified energy blend that contains a third less sugar than the leading national brand. In fact, it's 100 fewer calories per bottle than the competition, but you'd never know by tasting it. Instead, you get the same feel and flavor as your local coffee house, and you don't even have to wait in line. This all is fucking aside, you know, it's like a fire drill in here when I get up in the morning. I stay in bed until the latest possible, not even because I'm tired. It's just I don't want to fucking deal with the world. And so if I stay in my bed, then the world doesn't start to me. And then so by the time I need to leave, I got to run. I definitely haven't eaten anything. And I guess for me, flavored coffee is a meal because it has a taste and it fills up room in your stomach. This is a healthy lifestyle is what I'm promoting, I think.
I agree.
You're on the run. You also can keep some in like your office fridge. You can write like a message on it, like stay off my Cafe Monster cunt, and you can have them in like a lunch pail if you're working with that. I would keep them away from children. I do know kids who drink coffee, but
what,
they're like born in Manhattan, so they're not regular. They gotta
put that coffee down, kitty.
Yeah, but it's fun if you're a parent, like, you know, you just don't need it. It's a lot of waste. And then also you can make sure you're recycling the glass bottle. That's the only thing that I was just concerned about. Or if you're really a really in nature person, you can like make a vase out of it for the holidays.
Whoa.
Don't you? I'm like, at a certain point, you do have to stop with the homemade gifts. And I just have to realize that you're not doing well financially. But, you know, because like sometimes at a certain point, if someone gives you like a jar with like a ribbon around the edge, you're like, we're too old for this.
With some hot cocoa mix.
Just don't give me anything.
Yeah.
I really feel that way.
I bought some Swiss Miss. I put it in this jar.
Yeah, like I don't trust what's in the jar.
Nah, me either.
And the thought doesn't count because the only thought I'm having is get those resumes out, you know? So maybe just keep that to yourself. Anyway, Cafe Monster.
Oh, I forgot we were doing an ad.
I really do. I really do like the product. I didn't want to like it. And I like it. And my heart hasn't exploded. So yeah, that's a thumbs up for me. Cafe Monster. Chill it down. Shake it up. Stay away from the cardiologist and enjoy. I added a part to that.
And that's the end of the Cafe Monster sponsorship. On it,
every week we try to push it a little bit further. Yeah. I wonder what if I like actually went into cardiac arrest during the ad.
That would be great for, oh my God, that'd be great press. Any press is good press. Well, for us and Cafe Monster.
Oh God. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Alfred.
They have to be self-aware about their brand.
I feel, well, okay, so the we've been doing December duos.
Yeah.
And the duo this week is us.
Oh, I was going to talk it up like this woman is.
Oh, you want to do that?
No, it's okay. We've already fucked it up.
We can have Mike edit it.
Anyone who's reading the description is already going to have been disappointed.
And if you don't read the description, you're really missing out on really well-written prose.
Maybe they've just skipped over the episode entirely. Maybe you just turn on another podcast.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh God.
But if you have already, you wouldn't know.
My favorite notes are if we ever do it like an intro that's too long, it's like get to the guest.
Less you. No, but sometimes it's like more you guys, and then a lot of times people ask us.
No, that's true.
Episodes that are just us. And we have a lot to say. We've been hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Hung out. I have a disease, guys. I have a disease. It's called, I forget what it's called.
Oh, that's right. It's a real disease.
It is a real disease where you can't recognize the faces of people. Corinne and I attended the Saturday Night Live Christmas party after their show this past weekend. And thanks, Ryan Reese, for inviting us. And I swore to God, I texted Crit on my way to the bathroom and I was like, Bruce Willis is so fucking hot. And then I got back to the table and I was like, you guys, saw so many celebrities, saw Zooey Deschanel, Bruce Willis, I forget who else I fucking
you
said.
You said Leonardo DiCaprio,
which I still stand by.
I did not see.
Still stand by. He's lost just weight. Like stand by it. And then I was like, there's Bruce Willis in that hat, like newsboy hat. And then everyone at our table turns around and they're all simultaneously like, that's not Bruce Willis. I'm like, and I'm looking right at him and I'm like, yeah, it is. That's Bruce Willis. And Corinne was like, no, it's not. I'm like, God damn it. I don't know who people are.
He was reminiscent of Bruce Willis. I was immediately able to find the person who you thought was Bruce Willis, but I was also immediately able to be like, that's not him.
But my eyes are checked. My eyes, I have a disease. I do. I have a disease. And so,
yeah, but I also,
pray for me.
Maybe it's also just like your positive attitude. You're always trying to see
maybe, yeah,
a celebrity, but it's always a regular fucking boring person.
Yeah, but SNL parties, you see fucking people all the time.
Usually not the highest caliber. I mean, Matt Damon was there, but that's because he was the host.
Yeah. So Bruce Willis and Matt Damon friends? Surely they are.
Do you just think everyone in Hollywood hangs out?
Yeah, I would. If I was a famous person like that, I'd be like, I'm only hanging out with really famous
people. I mean, are you
people.
Friends with Chris Rock?
Well, no, but he walked by me at the party that I went before that and he said hi. And I was like, you do know who I am.
I think maybe he was just being polite.
I didn't say hi to him. He literally walked. He goes, hey, what's up? I didn't say nothing.
But
it was Chris Rock, though. It was definitely Chris Rock. I've met him before at the Comedy Cellar, but whatever. More important things to talk about.
Yes.
I, Christina Marie Hutchinson, am no longer a born again virgin.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes.
I had sex. I've had so much sex.
Mm-hmm.
I've had so much sex. And let me tell you something. We are the great people to host this podcast because I fucking love sex. Mm-hmm. I love sex so much.
I hate to be a downer, but I think there's a lot of people that like sex.
No, I love sex. There are, but there are, of course. But, you know, we talk about it every week, blah, blah, blah. In the past couple months, every time we do an episode, I just feel like a fucking fraud because it's called Guys We Fucked. We're supposed to talk about sex and everyone's telling us about sex. And I'm like, I haven't had sex. And I don't even remember what sex is. I don't remember how to do it.
Part of sexuality is also not having sex. So you don't have to be so hard on yourself. It's not a competition.
No, it's not. Well, I'm only having a competition with myself.
Right.
But I get depressed when I don't have sex. Not full on like in a depression coma, but I'm just like a little blue.
That's interesting. I mean, are you letting people come actually in you?
No.
Well, I'm just asking because scientifically,
yeah, I know.
You know, the actual jizz in vagina does help with like depression.
Really?
Do not fucking use that, anyone listening. It's going to make you more depressed, the baby that you didn't want.
You know, some 18-year-old dudes, 22-year-old dudes be like, hey, girl,
that's why I want to be very clear about that. I'm a 33-year-old woman and I'm on birth control. So it's a lot different.
Yeah.
Who could, if I needed to keep a baby, could ease like afford to take care of one.
Right. So I've been watching a lot of porn lately, mm-hmm. and masturbating furiously.
Right.
Nonstop all the time. Mm-hmm. But part of the good thing I think of watching porn, I didn't realize this, that's the only sex I've been partaking in is watching people doing it on my phone screen.
Right.
Sometimes my laptop screen when I'm feeling fancy, but mostly my phone.
Yeah, I actually upgraded to porn on the laptop this week. I don't know why I have a king size bed and no one else in it.
Yeah, you got to.
A king size bed and a 15 pound dog, so no real reason.
There's a lot of room
to.
For that laptop. Lots you could suspend it from the ceiling, girl. Yeah, the thing with looking at porn with your phone is those moments where you're about to come and then you accidentally drop your phone on your fucking
yes.
head. I get so mad. Mm-hmm. I get so angry.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been having sex. I'm gonna omit any details about the person because that's not important. I want to keep that private, but I'll divulge in the actual sex. I feel like watching porn has made me, I was nervous that I wasn't gonna be good at it. I am better at sex than ever before. Okay?
Why would you think you wouldn't be good at it?
Because I forgot how to do it. I truly it's like when I don't do stand-up for a week. I've gone a week without doing stand-up, and then... My first set after a week doing stand-up is always fucking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Always. I'm like, shit, should I be doing it less? But, you know, I just... I don't know. The idea of being good in bed just felt like a huge mountain to climb
right.
in my head. It was all... Sex is all mental anyway. But anyway, so this was a prepared, set, planned thing. So I was going to get a wax and I was like, I'll just shave my mm-hmm. vagina. And it felt good to shave my vagina for the first time in months.
Oh, you don't shave? I shave it even if
I haven't been because yeah. I'm like, you know what? Old lady, this old maid in between my legs, she's just got to rest a little bit. But I did and it was wonderful. And so oh my God, I love sex so much. I am so much better at communicating what I want in bed now.
Mm-hmm.
And also asking the other person, like, I'm good. The person I had it with, we're both good communicators. So it was such good sex. We both came so many times. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing this thing. My friend Wendy Starling has been on the podcast. You know her obviously really well. She'll describe to me these times that she's having sex, like recently and non-recently, where she just keeps coming and coming and coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's me now. Just finger me forever and right. I will keep coming. I mean, just rail me with your hand and I will just keep going.
Yeah, I was like, well, Wendy also specifically seems to be very good at having multiple orgasms.
She is, and I never was. I really, truly never, like, not back to back like that. Like,
I get burned out after like two.
I thought I was going to because nothing has been in there, but oh my God. And then, this person that I had sex with, I blew this person and then he came in my mouth. This happened like four times over the course of, but I was so proud of myself because I was like, still got it. And then
still got what? The ability to give a blowjob?
But like a good one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Remember
right.
when I was doing it wrong?
Oh yes.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
No more. I'm sucking in.
I was like, it's only been like a year since you learned how to give a proper one. Right?
I know. Well, I'm a fast learner.
And you still like it?
I love it. Okay. I love sucking. I love when if I like the guy, if I don't like the guy, I don't want you in my house, but you know, if I'm attracted to somebody, it's a form of expression for me to suck the guy I'm into's dick.
Real Basquiat over here.
I really feel it. I do. I really mean it. And then one of the times we had sex, I was like, okay, I want you to hit me. Mm-hmm. And this person was down. And I was like, thank God, because no one's been down so far. And look, I respect.
Really?
Yeah.
I think, you know what? You seem like a hard person to hit. People have no problems hitting me.
But I'm not like, can you hit me, mister?
Yeah, but
like, I'm not like that. I'm
think that like to hit someone, there has to be a little bit of a reason that you want to, even if you're not being honest with yourself. I really think so.
Do people hit you before you ask?
That's a great question. I'll have to think back. But like, I mean, hit is barely out. It's like, this is when I asked for, I got hit, and then I can't even get the me out. My face is whipping to the side.
Hey, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Thanks. Wow. Read my mind. So the last time that this person and I had sexual intercourse, I looked at him in the eye. I was, oh God, the sex is so good with this person. And I was like, I want you to fucking hit me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. And we had talked about this, well, not in over text or whatever, beforehand, that I liked this. So I kind of gave him a heads up because I know, based off my experience of the past couple guys who didn't want to hit me, I'm like, I'm going to feel this out over text to see if they're game. And then if they are, I'll say it in bed. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, I'm not going to say it. But yeah. And he was so, he hit the perfect, he was obviously hitting my ass, but I was like, I want you to hit me in the face. And it was just the perfect amount of pressure, the perfect placement. I was just like, we are rocking and rolling.
Well, placement is important.
Yeah.
Because if you miss... Yeah, it's not gonna be. You're gonna cancel that photo shoot. Which has happened. I have a fucking huge, actually, like a welt on my, like, on the top of my butt, which, like, I try.
Oh, no.
And, like, I try to keep bruises off. I mean, like, your butt is okay, I guess, because that's never really gonna be out, but, like, my arms and stuff will also bruise. And then, like, you can't wear certain clothing for a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little distracting on stage.
Yeah. Well, wait, where do you get bruised that is visible? Not your butt.
I just didn't like it on my butt because it ruins the aesthetic. I had a bruise on my arm or my leg. I think it went away though.
Oh, that's good.
I bruised
from being hit or grabbed.
I bruise really easily.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
There's just nothing I can do about it.
And you're very fair skinned.
Yeah, I think most fair people just really bruise easily.
Yeah,
something like.
But another thing I realized is it's a lot of work being on top. It's a lot of work. I had to break for water like eight times. Because I found that, okay, so you know when you climb up on a guy's dick and you're like, in my head, well, yeah, when you're fucking bid for
it, when you mount,
yeah. But when you get up on a guy and then I'm always like in my head, I'm like, okay, Christina, just, you know, feel the rhythm. Like, you got to find the rhythm.
Yeah.
And for men and women and whatever you are,
I
have to find the rhythm.
I used to change it up sometimes, like up and down, but then you can go around too.
You could go, yes. And I was doing a little bit a little bit of the up and down, like kind of like what porn stars do.
Right.
Like when they're squatting over a dick. Mm-hmm. I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. And you're just like this. You're just like, I know this is a podcast.
Gotta make sure you don't. Make sure you haven't eaten any gassy foods when you're doing that.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I knew the sex was happening, so I was very prepared.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I got him really, really close from me being on top, but it was like to gyrate. I figured out how he wanted me to gyrate my pelvis based off of the sounds.
Yeah.
Because thank God he was very vocal,
mm-hmm.
which I really appreciate, guys. If you're not vocal in bed, you got to get more in touch with yourself, because it's how you, it's the body language, and then it's the sounds that are coming out of your mouth is how two people can read if the other person is enjoying the sex. You
but
know
like
what I mean?
I like a vocal, but I don't like people in there as vocal as a woman.
Oh, no. Just like he would just start to like moan.
Like a little moan.
Yeah.
Getting,
I could tell when he was getting close.
Yeah.
I could tell when he was getting close.
And also like, I need to like see, some people have dead eyes when they're fucking, and I was like, I'm going to need you to not. I mean, I am horny because it's so goth, but like also I'm going to need, I need to read you a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Give me some other context clues.
Because like otherwise you're just going about like, sometimes yeah, some people are so dead in the eyes that you have to go from just like feeling the, you know, like a penis can be hard, but there's different levels of hard. And so
yes,
you have to like feel it in your vagina, like what makes it like really, the blood really rush. And I'm like, right. This is too many things to think about.
Right. Yes. You need those context clues. So I could tell when he was getting close. And so, you know, when you're on top of a guy and you gyrate a certain way, and then there's a certain way that makes him like make certain sounds, you're like, okay, obviously now we're on the money right
cooking
here.
Fire. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, but it's a lot of, and I'm someone who works out regularly, mm-hmm. but man, whew, it's a lot of work.
Motion,
it's and, a totally yeah. different motion, and I don't know what the fuck exercise I got to do to get me better at that. Probably just fucking more. But yeah, I love sexual intercourse and being fingered and sucking dicks and when you like the guy. But it was and this person was just everything I could imagine and more as a sexual partner, and I was very excited. And you know what? Also, too, I will say, getting to know each other before having sex. I'm talking. I mean, with this person, it was a while, but and I loved it. I think the sex was so good because of that. Just a reminder that rushing to fuck somebody, it's never good. I mean, for me, maybe it is for other people.
I've had ones where it was good, but it's rare.
And sometimes when you do rush and it's great, then the second time kind of sucks. And it's like, I think you can't lose by getting to know each other first.
Yeah, you can't lose. Well, I mean, you can lose if the person's personality sucks and you're just fucking a hot person, but then like, do you really need to fuck them? Like, if it's a if it's like a, I would call that like a vanity fuck.
Yeah.
Because I was like, the person I'm sleeping with right now, I had sex with years ago pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And it was like amazing, but so amazing that you're like, this could be troubling.
It's a fluke, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's so great. So I'm like, you know. But we know each other much better now. So.
Yeah. And then is the sex better?
But that is rare. I mean, it's just so much. I'm just better at sex now.
Right.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Because you're getting practice.
Yeah. I'm just better at it now. And also, I think you're just older. You're going to be better at it. I think women in their 30s are going to be better than women in their 20s.
Yeah.
Just,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Because of
and
life.
And men in their late 30s and 40s are better.
If they're dicks can stay early. Up.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. But this person's penis had no problem doing that.
Yeah, it's like sometimes you find someone there, but it's like it is very common. So like don't feel bad about it, but also like see a doctor because you can fix it, you know?
Yeah.
Don't be so ashamed of it that you don't get help, because then you're robbing yourself and your partner, if you have one, of many sexual intimate
and
moments.
This person also wanted to eat me out from behind. And when you eat a girl out from behind, your nose is right in their asshole, right?
I've had people
want to do that to
eat
me lately.
My asshole out, obviously.
Yeah.
obviously. But I've never had anyone want to eat me out from behind. I would be nervous about me getting an infection from angle.
Really? From just, their nose?
No, not from their nose. Like, because there's just like, if you're leaking, if you're wet and you're leaking and it's dripping, you got to be really careful with the ass and mouth.
But if you're on all fours and some, I mean, I'm talking like human centipede shit, but like not sewn together. And I'm just like, your nose is in my asshole. How is that fun for you? But whatever. I don't know. It makes me feel weird. I'm like,
I mean,
can you just eat me out when I'm on my back?
Bathe, your ass doesn't
smell. I don't know.
I mean, like during the day, even if you didn't like take a shit, your ass will smell like ass eventually.
Ass is going to smell like ass.
But not, it doesn't always. And I think even if it's just like a hint of ass, it's okay.
Yeah. A hint of ass is fine.
Yeah.
I did a butt check.
Yeah. A hint of ass.
Beforehand.
Yeah. Because if you're not sweating from your butt, like, I could put my finger in my butt right now. I think it would be fine.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I could probably do that.
I mean,
too.
I just woke up. I didn't just wake up, but I mean, it's like afternoon and I didn't run in these pants.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm back on the sex train. And the weird thing about being back on the sex train is, I don't know if you're like this, but once I start having sex, I never want to stop having sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not hard for me to go like a couple of months without having sex, because I just stop craving it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, eating peanut M&Ms or something, whatever your like addictive food is, like that's mine. Like I just like, once I start, I can't stop.
Yeah.
I'm just masturbating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of shit.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm just I'm working on I'm not, my sex life is great. That's like probably the best part of it. Everything yeah. else is not great.
But oh.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, dying as usual.
Still?
Yeah. I think I have like diabetes. Like oh. real diabetes.
You might.
Like my fingers are fucking peeling. I'm going to see the doctor tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my fingers peeled severely for years and I don't have diabetes. So it could be not that.
Yeah, but it's just like out of nowhere and I can tell by like, yeah, I don't know. I like looked into some like weird fucking new age health plans.
Ah.
And then everyone turned into WebMD and started emailing me. Maybe it says, I'm like, I appreciate it, but guys, like I'm just handling it with a real doctor.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of living in Manhattan. You have access to the top of the fucking top.
That's true. That's true. Well, I hope you don't have diabetes, but if you do, it's manageable.
Well, it's reversible.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad was on a lot of insulin and now he doesn't have to take insulin anymore because he's been eating fresh food.
Yeah, so. Well, it's not like it's not like a diet related, like my actual like blood work and stuff on like what I'm eating and like even like getting like woo woo stuff like colonics, like
yeah, I was gonna say your diet is extremely healthy.
Those are all good. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. And working on saying no to people who bother me for things.
Oh, that's good. That's very important.
Boundaries.
I'm trying to do that too.
I mean, because it's like I have no problem saying no and like a lot of stuff, but I just like when people ask for help, I'm like, oh, like let me help. But like, no. You're
what
just
do you do? Like,
depleting
what
my energy.
I'm trying to say no to things too, but part of the reason why I say yes is because I can't figure out how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to take a second to think before I answer. But I need like a way too much time to think about it to understand how I feel.
Well, and then there's also like, you're like, oh, you know, the Kathy Griffin motto always like sticks up in my mind, like say yes to everything until you've like really made it.
Ah, yeah.
And you know, she used that much longer into her career than we are into our careers, as far as like success level.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then at a certain point you're like, well, yeah, you don't need to take a 90-minute train into Brooklyn to do this podcast that you know only 1,000 people max listen to.
Right.
So it's just cutting out stuff like that.
Yep.
And
the cost benefit analysis.
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with somebody the other day and how cost benefit analysis isn't sexy, but it's very important when making decisions about sexual stuff, about career stuff, about life stuff, friend stuff. Like, you know what I mean? No one ever wants to do it, but it's very important.
Oh, and then I learned this really interesting thing that basically, you know, obviously there's like feminine and masculine energy. And you have to pick like a feminine, a female is not necessarily someone who's going to be using feminine energy in a relationship. Right. But you have to pick which one you're going to be, and your partner has to be the other one, even if it's reversed. Otherwise, it's never going to work. And one of the things that I have to work on that is feminine is receiving.
Ah.
So like both. So like sometimes women think like giving is feminine. Because like we're gender trained that way, but it's not like the actual feminine energy is receiving. So should be giving.
Well, yeah. And this is obviously cisgendered women, but like, you know, if you think of it sexually, the woman has the hole, the guy has the rod.
Right. So you're receiving, and I'm good at receiving sexually. I'm fine with like laying back and like getting eaten out, that kind of thing. But like, as far as like in a relationship, I am like a giver, and in just every relationship I'm giving more than I'm getting, like,
but you have
friends and stuff.
A masculine energy to you though, so isn't that part of that?
But that should not be my leading energy.
Oh, your leading energy.
Yeah,
I
because I need a masculine guy.
Oh,
it's very
okay.
complex.
Is the person you're having sex with a masculine counterpart to your
According to the quiz that you took, but also according to the quiz I am too. So
okay,
but apparently like a lot of women, especially women who are career driven, have like almost use a masculine mask of energy to protect themselves. I feel like I use a feminine energy to woo men, and then
yes.
my real energy is masculine and it comes out in the relationship, and then we butt heads. But it's TBD. I'm figuring it out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But just like you need to, and it's a kind of like it's a little bit goes along with like our conversation that we had with Dante Nero. that enraged everyone so much. But like, I knew when he was talking that he was right. It's just not what you want to hear because it kind of goes against like feminism.
What was he saying?
I mean, it's just like that you have to kind of lean into traditional gender roles. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, also a relationship is a partnership, mm-hmm. but partnerships aren't going to work if you're both doing the same exact shit.
Yeah. If you're the same energy, it's going to butt heads. Like you can have the same energy as your friend. You can't have the same energy mm-hmm. as your partners.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I mean, every person I've ever been with, I like giving into the feminine energy and being taken care of. I really like that. I love taking care of myself and taking care of other people, my partner, but it feels really good to, yeah, it's an ebb and a flow and you gotta, it's a dance too. Cause I feel like,
yeah, you can switch off, but you have to like, it's kind of like you have to learn the rules to break them. So it's the same thing. You have to like learn your energy to be able to then in different parts of your life, be the opposite energy.
All right. I'm going to give a quick update, too, on the woman who emailed us. She went by Jane Doe, who the subject line of that email was "a cop pulled out my tampon."
Right.
We've had a lot of people write us in with suggestions. Don't say the name of this precinct. Say the name of the precinct. All kinds of stuff. I've been talking to her. She's been emailing me back, and I really appreciate it. She emailed me this past Wednesday with an update on the situation. She just said, update, after research of the officer and anonymously reporting the incident, the officer had been known for sexual misconduct against young women ages 17 to 25.
What surprise, surprise.
The officer was fired and had his license or whatever the fuck they have to be a police officer revoked. So this officer will no longer be able to be a cop anywhere and will be going to court over the many, 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 literally more than hundreds of reports of sexual abuse and or harassment. That's fucking, I mean, that's terrible, but that's amazing. I'm so glad.
But it's insane that it took that many.
Yep.
Thanks. I mean, that's crazy.
Yep. So yeah, I wanted to give you an update. I'd been talking to her on and off the past couple months and very frustrated, as I'm sure people who are listening to this podcast were as well. So and then we're going to be reading a couple emails for the rest of this episode. If you want to email us, the email address is sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Okay. So I'm going to read this email. The subject line is, I am a male rape victim and nobody cares. Hi girls, love your show and have listened for years. I've been going through a very dark time in the last couple of years and nobody will listen to me because I'm a guy. I am a 20-year-old gay man living in London. I work in central London and have moved to the city in late 2017. I've been experiencing depression in varying degrees for the past 2 years and it all stems from summer of 2016. When I was 18 years old, living in a small town and out drinking, going to clubs, this is the legal drinking age for the UK, I will go out all the time with my friends from college on the weekends and was having the time of my life feeling free and independent. One night, I went to the same club we go to every weekend and I saw the same guy I see all the time. This guy used to approach me quite often when I was out, flirting with me, buying me drinks, etc. Though I thought he was sweet and friendly, I didn't think he was physically attractive and made it clear I wasn't interested. Fast forward to the night of the incident. It was Saturday night in July. I hadn't drunk that much that day as I had work and went to a friend's house to get ready straight after. I barely had time for one drink before heading out. Once we got to the club, we started the night as normal and splitting into smaller groups as we usually do. My group of friends at this time was fairly large as most people from my college would just go out all together. There were both guys and girls in this group. However, I was the only gay male. I saw the guy and was honestly getting tired of him talking to me and I had already made it 100% clear I wasn't interested. I went on to tell the male friends I was with to keep an eye on this guy as I was starting to feel a little creeped out. They told me not to worry and it would all be okay. Fast forward about an hour, I'm dancing and he beckons me over to the bar. I was hesitant but honestly didn't want to seem rude. We started chatting casually and he bought me a drink. While we were talking, I was about to leave him to meet my friends as they were leaving to go to the smoking area. He told me not to go without finishing my drink. I obliged and immediately felt faint. The rest of the night comes back to me in flashes. I remember leaving with him. I remember him taking a piss outside as I watched. I remember him violently kissing me and telling me that I was disgusting because I smoked cigarettes. I then remember being in his house and screaming for help. He then hit me and continued to rape me. I 100% remember saying, no, leave me alone, I don't want this, and him saying, but I do. I left in the early hours of the morning crying and getting into a cab home. I didn't report this to the police, and to this day, I don't know why I didn't. The events following are what kind of fucked me up. I went to the doctors to be tested, and when I explained what happened, I had to have I had to have so many vaccines and tests because the guy that raped me wasn't from the UK. I believe he was from South America. I was underperforming at college, so I had to tell my principal why. They were supportive at first, but couldn't understand why I had to miss classes to get my vaccines. I was a dancer at the time and studying at a dance school. I got my first professional job doing a show in another city at the end of the year for them to tell me they wouldn't let me go because I was lazy and, quote, you couldn't handle the pressure of working away from home, when in reality, it would have been an escape as I hadn't told any of my family. I graduated and then decided I needed to move out. I worked in a warehouse to make money, enough money to move to London and with my best friend. I also hadn't told her either. I was 19 at the time. Fast forward to now, I am 20 and it's been around 2 years since the incident. I have now told my mother, sister, and a few close friends, but nobody else because I don't want to have the stigma of a rape victim being weak and vulnerable. I struggle with the same depression it caused me to this day and don't know what to do. I've tried therapy, but it really didn't help me at all. I went for 3 months after I moved to London, and it just honestly made me overthink everything and get worse. The doctor who I had did therapy with seemed reluctant to give support because of my gender. Also, the friends I told really do kind of have a get over it attitude. I can't help but think this is because I am a man. I can't help but think if I was a woman, this would be much more of a big deal and I would have much more support. My mother and sister really just avoiding talking about it at all costs, and whenever I bring it up, they change the subject. I need some advice on how to get my life back on track as I'm really struggling here. Should I give therapy another chance? Should I move back home? What should I do? Thanks for reading this. Best wishes. Man, I'm so sorry that that fucking happened to you. Corinne and I have heard from male victims and obviously female victims of rape.
Yeah, and I have friends in real life who are men who were raped, for sure.
The only difference between these two emails, all the feelings they say they go through are very similar. Obviously, people are affected by traumatic incidents differently because everybody is different. But a lot of the emails, the notion of what you're saying in these emails is the same, except for the tag with the male victims is either no one believes me, they treat it as not a big deal, the changing the subject. That's something I've read a lot with specifically with male victims, because after I got this email, I kind of looked up emails from other guys who have written us who have been raped. And three of the emails said every time I would tell my family about it or I want to bring it up, they said they changed the subject.
Yeah, I was like, the thing is, I was like, a lot of the same sentiments, though, I've heard in female ones, too. Like, it's only in very recently that we've been able to have a public discussion in at least America about rape and sexual assault. Before that, I think it was like little pockets of women who were kind of believing one another. Like, it's just people feel uncomfortable with it across the board. And I think maybe even more so with men, just because it feels like not masculine to, like, and this is their thinking, not mine, to like have allowed yourself to get raped, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Because I mean, like, there's still, even, you know, with women, like the asking for it thing is still a very believed notion.
Yeah.
Just not in like, not in the circles we hang out in, but our circles are a bubble also for the most part.
So, but to this person writing, I would get therapy another try, and I would be very, very upfront about your frustration, all your struggle, the depression, everything you're going through, dealing with the trauma of it, but also the fact that you feel like you're not as heard or not as seen. I think victim of sexual assault's one common denominator is they aren't heard or seen very often at all. Mm-hmm. And like Corinne was saying, we're just now giving attention to something that's been happening for fucking ever. With my family, I don't know. I'm not sure what you exactly say to your mother and your sister when you bring it up, but if you're really close to them, obviously you are, if you feel comfortable talking about this, I would it's hard to advocate for yourself when you're traumatized or any time really, if you're someone like me, but I would say, like, if it was my mom, I'd be like, I need you to hear me when I talk about this, because it really hurts when you brush it off or you change the subject, and it's going to help me heal if you would just hear me and see me and listen to me. I would just make that known to them.
Yeah, and if they continue to not to kind of change the subject, then I think you
don't talk to them
about
it.
Yeah, you don't talk. Well, no, you don't talk. I think you just literally cut them off for a while, because I think that's sometimes a tactic to get people to hear you and that you're serious. It's like, if you can't accept this part of me, you can't have me in general in your, in like your life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real wake up call for some people. Mm-hmm. I know it's a difficult thing to do. It's probably not the, it's not the thing that you want to do, but also you shouldn't have been put in this situation to begin with. And there's also, I think people forget about, they still are calling them, there's like survivor groups. I know at least one person who goes, to a survivor's meeting, and he is a male, and it's a really great place to kind of just decompress and talk to people who are 100% going to get you. It's free. Any major city would have one. So I think that's another option to at least be seen and heard. And just, it's sometimes it's just nice to have a conversation with someone who is not going to only sympathize, but can empathize because they've been through the same or similar things.
And they can share things that have helped them, things mm-hmm. that didn't help them. And you could just talk about it. You could talk about it without having the fear of like, oh, are they going to feel bad for me? Are they going to feel weird about me? Are they going to? No, because they've been through the same exact thing.
I also think like a book or a TED Talk, I think people forget that there's, that you can just pull up a book, and books can be really helpful when kind of plain human conversation fails you. Mm-hmm. There's an expert who's written a book about pretty much everything. And TED Talks are a great way to
R-A-I-N-N.
Yeah. There's a lot of content out there, especially now with the Me Too movement. It's one nice thing about it is that there's just more content being written about Me Too and more conversations being had about it.
Yeah, but you will be okay, and you will find yourself again, and you'll find your inner joy again. I know that for a fact. It might be a rocky road, but you'll get there. And thanks for writing us.
Okay, so we're going to stay thematically, I guess, on rape. Talking about rape is outrageous. I'm writing today because last night at a friend's house, I brought the subject of rape into the conversation, and now somehow people think I'm inappropriate and must have been raped. I was at the birthday party with my husband. He is a jerk, and we're really on the brink of divorce right now. Sorry to hear that. My friend's dad starts comparing a politician from our country, Dominican Republic, to Trump, and I just couldn't stay quiet. I felt that it was ridiculous to compare a rapist and criminal president, Trump, to a president who just said funny things on TV. So I said that Trump has broken the law many times and raped/assaulted many women. He had the audacity to say that it's impossible to rape women because if you don't open your legs, it won't happen. Well, I mean, how old is this guy? 108?
Jesus.
I lost my shit. And I told him that there's something called physical strength, and that I know how it feels to have a man on top of you and not be able to push him off. I was assaulted by my cousin when I was 13. Mm. It didn't result in rape, but it still scared me for life. And I said that what he said is outrageous. Women get raped every single day, and it's a fucking epidemic. I really felt I was standing up for all the women that have been raped or assaulted. Now my husband is pissed at me because he somehow feels I disrespected him.
He is a jerk.
By sharing my experience and responding to that, and basically just talked about rape like it's not happening very casually all over the world. I don't understand how talking about rape is such a horrific thing when we should all be talking about it and educating people around us. Now, was I a jerk for shutting that shit down? Or did I do the right thing? I can't help but doubt myself with all the negative feedback about what I said. He's acting like that was something too personal to share and not talking to me at all. After many fights, we were starting to get along, and now because of that, I think everything is down the drain. It hurts because I put a lot of work into this relationship to now have it end over me just being myself and speaking my mind. Now I'm crying again over this relationship, which I thought I was officially done emotionally. I have literally no place to go if we get divorced right now because I have an upcoming surgery next month. It will take me at least 4 months to get a place where I can work and move out. We also have a 2-year-old, which makes this even harder. It breaks my heart to separate her from him. Okay, well, there's a lot of layers in this email. A
lot of layers.
So, I mean, we'll go from the first part with the conversation. I mean, you're just dealing with people with archaic views, and also you have the problem of not only archaic views, differences in gender views, and also cultural differences here. I mean, like, people don't like, you know, people like to pretend every culture is like, but I mean, there are cultures where women are treated differently than others. And I gotta say, I mean, like, it's just...
Yeah, you can't deny that that exists.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different. Like, a Dominican Republic, you know, traditional culture. I have lots of friends from the DR, or his families are from the DR, and it's different.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there's not progressive people there, but...
Things that are talked about, like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I just
there's religion that comes into play there a lot, right, as well.
Yeah, it seems like culture. Not, I don't really. I never. I can never use that as an excuse, though.
Oh, it's not an excuse, but it's
being freaked out over talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I mean, people, I can see like any type of like sexual, even though rape is not consensual sexuality, you know, if in a family setting, you know, sex, politics, religion are the things that you're avoiding.
Yeah, the only time I think it would be inappropriate to bring up rape at a holiday dinner or whatever is if there's children present that are so young they don't even know what's like, maybe. But even then, I don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I also am a little too comfortable talking about it, about pretty much anything.
I don't think you did anything wrong, but I also think for me, like, I just avoid topics like this with, not with my immediate family, but with like my, you know, when we're getting into aunts and uncles, just because.
Conservative relatives. Yeah.
For me, it's just not worth it. I'm not going to change their mind over an hour, and that's not. That's just not what I'm there to do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, especially when people are really old, something really drastic is going to have to happen to change the views that they've collected over a lifetime. And as far as the divorce, I mean, we talk about this a lot. Again, you know, getting into relationships and putting yourself between a rock and a hard place. I don't know.
Doesn't seem like you're happy in this relationship.
And yeah, this guy next needs to go.
Yeah, he sucks. I mean, by the very few facts that you've told us, even if there's wonderful things about him, which I'm sure there have to be, otherwise you wouldn't be with him. But yeah, the bad things kind of really are bad. If you can't be yourself, you feel like you can't be yourself with a partner, what the fuck kind of environment is that to live in? And yeah, what kind of environment is that for your daughter to grow up in, your child to grow up in? I don't know if it was a daughter or a son.
It was your daughter.
Yeah. If you feel that disconnect between your partner, ugh. And you're also giving an example of like, this is how it's okay to be treated, even if she doesn't really understand the scope of how he's treating you. The vibe is there. I don't know. I think you're better off trying to figure out a situation in which you can get away.
Yeah,
and like, live at somebody else's house.
Making it work for the kids is like kind of
that's the worst.
That's an old.
That's throwing a match into a barrel of oil.
Yeah, like I think the best like lesson you can set for your kids is like living a happy and healthy life, and you know she's going to know lots of other kids who have to visit their dad on the weekends. Unfortunately, it's not ideal, but it's certainly better than you being miserable and walking on eggshells all the time and not feeling like you can be yourself.
Yeah,
that's no way to live.
Mm-hmm. Okay, subject of this email: waxed before eating. This is from a dude. Okay, here we go. Longtime listener, and after some comments my wife made, I need to know if this is a wider phenomenon or just localized. A couple who are friends of ours came to dinner with us the other night, and the male half asked what women want in bed. Wife, we are 30s, male, female, cis couple, Bay Area, immediately chimes in, eat the pussy. Good advice, right? Mm-hmm. Now here's the rub. I love to eat pussy. Good on you. Nothing gets me more going more than going down on my partner. I've been very attentive to feedback too, so I feel I'm pretty good at it by this point. She won't let me go down on her if she's not freshly waxed. He put that in all caps.
Weird.
And like, she's been waxing for years and has had laser removal. So even with some growth, there's really not anything there to begin with. Also, I have a beard, so wouldn't know the difference regardless. Yeah, I'm like, ooh, ouchies. What the hell? Like, if I turned down a beach on grooming grounds, she'd be suspicious. I don't know about that. And why give this advice in front of me when you know you'll turn it down if it's offered half the time? She says it's because she feels better about it. Should I stop offering? I don't know. I'm just trying to wrap my head around this one. Please help. Keep me anonymous. I just want to eat some pussy. I've been that way where I don't want a guy to eat me out if I'm not like shaved or at least groomed. But then the person that I had sex with wasn't, I don't think, shaved at all. And I didn't give a fuck. Licked the balls, licked the butt, licked the anything. I don't care. So I understand where this guy's coming from who wrote us about like, I don't give a fuck what hair situation. I just want to suck your dick or I just want to eat your pussy. I get that. And sometimes it can ruin it for the eater or the sucker, mm-hmm. because it's like, it's kind of unsexy when someone's like, wait, no, but like I haven't,
when someone's
like,
insecure and
it's in, yeah, because yeah. it is in a way an insecurity.
It's 100% an insecurity, yeah.
Even though like I obviously prefer to be fully groomed and cleaned and all that stuff before this happens.
I but do if, until the moment my I'm pants not, come off and then I'm like, fuck it.
No, if I'm not, I don't give a fuck. So I think that probably means that your partner's still in her head about it. And she wants to get eaten out because obviously she's saying this at a dinner table to another couple and be like, eat the pussy. But there's something deeper in there. I would talk to her about it because, and have you expressed your frustration? I don't think you said that in the email. Like, tell her that really frustrates you because the sex, it's so fucking sexy when someone will allow you to just like, just fucking go down on me, eat me, just take me. I don't care what state I'm in. Like, that's part of the fun and hotness that can accompany sex stuff, sexual intercourse, getting gone down on, whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, just say like, I love your pussy, like kind of all the time. I would say just be careful. Don't make it about you. Don't be like, I'm frustrated when
right.
you don't let me. But I think it's like reinforcing that like you're sexy and I am attracted to you and I lust for you.
And maybe if you say,
of hair growth.
Yeah. Like if you say like, I know that you don't like me going down on you when you're waxed, but I got to tell you, when you let me do it and you're not waxed and you just don't care and you just want it, I think that is so fucking hot.
Yeah, like I like say it. That. Yeah.
I would just say that.
I think it's fine because like sometimes I'll on purpose go out with like, if I'm going on a date and I want to like not sleep with the person, mm-hmm. I'll just like leave my vagina hairy and then it never has stopped me before.
Yeah.
So I don't even know why I bothered to do that. And I don't care. Yeah. Okay. So this, and no one's ever said it. I mean, like people have like,
and I'm sorry,
got blood on them. Right. No one cares.
If anybody complained, they'd be like, excuse me, you're lucky to be
there. Well, that's just, what's also just like not a good sexual partner if there's someone who's not like willing to get a little dirty or,
yeah, you know, it's part of the hotness.
Parts of sex are gross. Yeah. And then like afterwards, it's almost like sex can be like committing a murder in the moment because you're just like all this like bloods and fluids are everywhere and you're fucking out of your mind and then you kind of stop and you look around and you're like you get a hold of yourself. But in the moment, like you're not present if you're thinking about all these other things.
Yep.
And that's a whole another issue. This one is called I Found My Boyfriend's Secret Sex Closet. We never actually read this one, right? We just put it in subject line Sunday because I know a lot of people were asking about it. Hi, Corinne and Christina. I'm obsessed with your podcast and love everything about it. It really helped me think about sex positively after growing up in a small conservative town. Keep inspiring ladies to embrace their sexuality. So I've been dating a guy for around 4 years now, and we have always been great about exploring our sex life. We usually bring vibrators into the bedroom and have tried out rough sex and handcuffs, which didn't feel natural, but nothing really further than that. To be honest, it's gotten pretty vanilla, and I find it hard to be motivated to have sex lately. Then I was looking for my vibrator the other day because he is out of town and stumbled upon a drawer full of different sex-related things. A lot of straps I couldn't quite figure out, anal beads, and the most surprising one to me was a penis pump. I was a bit surprised because to me a penis pump is an insecurity about dick size, and he's never expressed or acted like the type of guy that is insecure about it. Could you elaborate on why my boyfriend would have a secretive penis pump? Would it be offensive to ask him about it? To be honest, I got pretty turned on finding all of these things and excited that we could spice things up. I like to see that he's finally trying to explore a kink, but wouldn't I be the one to explore with? I don't know why he would have all of these sex contraptions and never tell me. I also can never see him using them because he is so awkward about exploring BDSM style sex with me. Do you think there's something wrong with himself. That as well? I feel like he's holding out on me and we've been together for almost 4 years. Okay, something weird's going on. There's no really? 4 years is a long time to not know that someone has all that other shit.
I mean, that's a lot of other shit. I don't think penis pump has anything to do with insecurity.
Me neither.
I feel good.
You can always want to better yourself.
But also too, you know, a lot of times in straight couples anyway, the woman will have a vibrator and not tell the guy. I don't think, and I understand that notion. I think it's going to be better if you do tell the guy because it's like, hey, maybe you can incorporate that eventually. But I think it's perfectly fine to have some things to just yourself.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not comfortable exploring anal beads with a partner and you want to do it with yourself, great. 4 years, I feel like you might want to incorporate that shit in the couple sphere.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, like if it's a true closet and there's that, I mean.
Sounds like more like a drawer.
I mean.
How have you only now found that drawer?
Right, yeah. Like number one, I don't know how you didn't know this existed.
It's your
like,
own home.
Are you living in a mansion?
Good for you if you are.
And number two, I mean, yeah, because well, just some of those things like the straps and stuff seem to me that they are things that you would not use alone, which to me is like, does this person have a secret life? Does this person maybe exploring things with men on the side? Like that's to me is question. It's just straps. That's just a lot of
it's a lot of stuff. And when is he using it?
That doesn't match up to your personality. I mean, like, if you're, like, masturbating and maybe, if he likes to jerk off with, like, anal beads in his ass, I think that's totally normal.
Yeah.
But, like, what kinds of straps are we talking about? Like, I'm not trying to maybe put it in your head that maybe he's cheating.
But maybe he puts them, if they're leather, he puts them around, like, his neck and his, like, his arms, and they're kind of like a holster.
Some of that stuff. I mean, also, because it's, like, he could be someone who's into autoerotic asphyxiation, which worries me because people die all the time from that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how he's getting in.
Okay, so I would bring this up to him, but not in a first of all, I don't know how the fuck, if he really didn't want you to find this shit, he should put it in a safe. I don't know how you put it in a drawer in a closet and then expect no one to go in there.
Stuff like that.
I mean, I go into every crevice of my apartment and I have, no matter who's lived with me. I mean, I don't go into a roommate's room, but like other than that,
right.
If it's my boyfriend and I shared space, I'm going, not to be nosy, but like, I want to know, I reorganize shit all the time. But I would bring it up to him and like, hey, I was looking for something the other day in the closet and I found this stuff, all these like really cool toys. How long have you had this and how often do you use them? Like, I would just start having a conversation about it.
I wouldn't mention the penis pump, though.
Really?
No, that's his personal thing. It has nothing to do with you.
But it's all personal.
I don't. Well, the other things could be used as a team. The penis pump just has nothing to do with her.
Yeah,
I mean, I would not lead with that. I would not.
Well,
I would be annoyed. That's like someone finding like something, like a fucking like tit cream or something and asking me about it. Like, just, that's just, there's nothing. This might.
But then if it's all in one drawer, though, he's going to know she saw it.
Yeah, but he can bring it up on his own.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, why do you have a penis pump?
That's true. Well, yeah. I mean, I would want to know only because I'm like, oh, what does it do? Like, can we use it together?
Well, it just temporarily enlarges like your penis by like pushing it up. Like, I mean, like I know people who have had
the air.
It's literally just an aesthetic thing, the same way as you would use like one of those like cinnamon things on your lips to plump it.
Yeah.
But just for a couple of hours.
Right.
It's like, you know what it does? I don't think it's an insecurity thing. And like, I would kind of be irritated if someone like, because you're right, like you always have to realize when you look through someone's shit. I read this in a Psychology Today article, but basically like when you're breaching a conversation that has to do with you kind of snooping, you're already on the losing end of the conversation and the person's going to be defensive.
Yeah.
So you want to make the person that feel you're talking to as least on guard as possible if you want it to be a productive conversation. So it's like, what is the conversation really about? Is it about you're just being curious and wanting to ask about a penis pump? I don't think so. I think the conversation really at the core of it is, you have this stuff. I don't feel fully satisfied in my sexual relationship.
Right.
And how can we make this better by using an interest that you have and have not shared with me? I think that's the core of it. And so you want to concentrate on like, what is the most important part of this conversation and not kind of like ruin it and make someone feel uncomfortable. Sorry, I tried to put a ponytail in while talking. With the conversation.
I agree. All right. Subject line of this email: advice for an amputee. Hey, ladies. I love your podcast. I'm a longtime listener. I was really pumped you had an amputee on the podcast, but I'm hoping at some point you can have a female with amputation, S in parentheses, or any disability really, on the podcast. I totally come on, but I feel like you don't really bring fans on the show. I live in Connecticut, not too far.
You
just
are
saying.
Correct. Thank you for someone finally knowing that.
But I digress. I am an amputee, obviously. I'm a girl. I'm 26 years old and have never been in any kind of relationship. I think I'm straight. I've only ever been sexually attracted to guys, but I'm not ruling out other possibilities. I'm on all the trendy dating apps and nothing. I keep getting ghosted or rejected. I make it clear I'm looking for a relationship, but don't want to jump into anything too quickly. I need to make sure there is an attraction. I think I may be demisexual. I need a degree of comfort with a guy too, because I have some social anxiety. I make it clear I'm not looking for a hookup because I want to lose my virginity to someone I like and feel 100% safe and comfortable with. I'm honest and upfront about my disability too. I've been an amputee the majority of my life and I love who I am. I just want to find someone I'm attracted to that feels the same way. I'm not sure if you ladies have heard of devotees, but they're people attracted to people with disabilities. Oh, I didn't know that. People who fetishize disabilities. abilities, and that creeps me out. So I would like to avoid guys like that. Also, I'm a bilateral below knee amputee, so I can't date a guy with a foot fetish. Do you know how many guys have a foot fetish? A lot. You're right. Do you have any advice to help me get over this hump? I think because I've waited so long to look for a relationship, I've put myself in a position where I'm too nervous. I love how open you guys are. I try to stay open-minded too. Any advice you could give me would be greatly appreciated. Maybe you will think of something I haven't. Don't use my name. Thank you. Okay. Well, so I think maybe one of the reasons that you haven't had a lot of luck on dating apps, and first of all, dating apps can be shit storms. Sometimes they can be good. It's why I have a nephew. But other times, like I've had, months in a row where I'm just like, this is fucking bleak and terrible. You seem too desperate, is to be honest. It has nothing to do with your amputee, nothing to do with you having a disability. I feel like I haven't seen your dating profile, so I'm only going off of what you're saying in this email, but I understand everything you're saying. But if you're saying I'm making it very clear that I want a relationship, but I'm also making it clear that I just don't want to hook up, but I'm also making it clear that I need to know somebody before I lose my virginity. If you truly are making all of these things clear in your dating app profile, that's gonna come off as thirsty as fuck. I think, and you're more than welcome to send me screenshots of your dating profile. I'll be happy to look it over. But I think as long as I'm a fan of, I think it's great to be upfront in a dating profile with things. I mean, being an amputee is probably one of the things you want to be upfront with, because you don't want to put yourself in the way of getting just meeting up with a fucking asshole who's gonna be like, what, whatever the fuck people do. But you only have to say that in like a photo of you. You know what I mean? That you really like, that showcases that. But just be yourself in your dating profile, and then the conversations that you have with people. Talk about what you like and what you don't like. But you know, in terms of thinking far ahead in the future, I don't know. I feel like sometimes whenever I read a guy's profile, it's like, I'm looking for a relationship, or I'm looking for, it turns me off. I don't know why. I just, when a guy's just like themselves and like, this is the kind of music I like to like to listen to. I work here. And then when I'm not working, I like ride mountain bikes with friends, whatever the fuck, like a chiller dating profile. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. Cause yeah. I feel like that's where you're losing people. It has nothing to do with the amputee thing.
You don't want to feel like you're going in for a job interview, even though you were kind of going in for a job interview. Yeah. And you're going on a date. Like anytime someone has a bunch of like list things that they like need or are looking for, it feels daunting. Like it doesn't feel romantic. It feels like, oh Jesus Christ, like dating is already hard enough, and now I feel like I have to impress this person who I don't even know if I like or want to impress yet. So yeah, it's heavy. I think that's a big part of it.
And be funny. Like when you said something about the foot fetish, that's really funny. Like maybe put on your profile, like, hey, if you got a foot fetish, not the gal for you. Something like that. I think that's charming and hilarious. And that shows to me like you don't give a fuck and you have a good sense of humor.
Yeah, I think be funny and confident. And I'm not going to say it's 100% not about being an amputee. I'm sure that is, you know, a deal breaker for some people. But like those people aren't fetish. The right people for you anyway. Yeah, I mean, whether it's a fetish or just not, you know, just like that's something that's a no for me, whatever it is. I mean, I wouldn't be the fetishizing people. I wouldn't be too concerned about. I think you can tell if someone's really interested in you for your personality or you for something physically about you pretty quickly.
I would think that they would ask you questions about you if they're interested in you, and they would ask you questions about your disability if they're solely interested in your disability.
Right. Like, cause I mean, you're talking about Chris, she kind of referenced Chris Crespo. He's not an amputee. He has just a disability that he was born with. The great thing about the conversation with him, I think, was that it seemed that his disability wasn't really a large part of his life, and kind of just didn't talk about it a lot because it wasn't a big deal for him. So then it wasn't.
And that came across as confident.
Yeah. And then it wasn't a big deal for anyone else. And we just talked about regular shit. Okay, I had an email and I lost it. I have flashlight in the title.
I'll fit on my lap.
Got it. Okay. This one's called Lesbian Hookup Uses Her Flashlight to Vaginally Exam Me. Okay, so I've been thinking about writing into your show. My name is something. I'm 20 years old. I've only ever been sexually attracted to men in my life until I met this girl at my gym. Total babe, covered Muslim, super masculine, and a lesbian, 26. We were friends for a while, then I asked her out and we started dating, hooking up for a while. Like the first week we're hooking up, she's sleeping over every night. after a sleepover, she comes over the next day and at work. When I'd gotten to work,
lesbians do move quick.
Yeah, I know. When I'd gotten to work that day, my vagina was on fire, and I was talking to my boss like, "Oh my god, my vagina hurts. I need to leave to buy something I can go commando in." I hear you. And then later that day, my boss is like, "You might have a yeast infection." What kind of a place do you work at where you're having these conversations? Jesus Christ. "Go to the bathroom, take a picture of it, and we'll see." What?
Wow.
So I straight up go take my first nude to show my boss. I also go on the Monistat website, and you have to take a quiz. Irritation, odor, discharge. I only had the irritation and was like, "What the fuck? What is this?" Then the girl comes over that night. She's a nurse. She's about to go down on me when I'm like, "I'm okay. Before you do that, actually, okay, I don't know what you're saying here." I gave a brief explanation and wondered if I had a yeast infection. Her head pops up from between my legs and she goes, "Want me to check?" And I'm like, "Dear God, yes, see if you want to." She pulls out her fucking phone flashlight and starts giving me a vaginal exam. Sniffs it. And says, "Nope, doesn't smell, and no discharge. I would just recommend Vagisil for the irritation, probably from all our fucking last night." I was relieved and horrified. She called me in a vag prescription the next day. Oh, that's a thumbs up about dating a nurse.
Yeah.
And brought me her own Vagisil. Then the second week we were together, I'm on my period and she goes down on me like all night. Then we're done and I go shower and go to take my tampon out and I can't find it. I give a thorough inspection because this has only ever happened to me one time. I was 13 on family vacation, had to have my mom look for me, and she was like, "Sam, it's in your butt crack."
Oh.
Very irritated in tone. Then I have to have this girl look, and she has to go like knuckles deep for 5 minutes, finds it for me, and drops it on the bed. Well, James did that for me. Then went in my kitchen and ate all my peanut butter. Here's a picture of me and her and some of me, since you guys like pictures. Okay. I mean...
Wait, is she asking for advice on anything?
I guess she's just confused about like if that's weird. Well, I mean, she's a nurse.
Yeah.
And even if she wasn't a nurse, honestly, some people are just very comfortable with stuff like that, especially because you're both women.
Yeah.
I've never dated or had that level of sexual intimacy with a woman, so I can't speak to that. If someone did that to me, I kind of think I would be just like taken aback at first, but I would let them do it because I don't know. Why not?
Yeah. The few times that I've gone down on women, I'm always scared to look at a guy's dick when the pants first come off, but I'm never scared to look at a woman's vagina.
Interesting.
It's more like, and maybe that's partly because I'm not really attracted to women, but I'm more like curious. State. I'm just like, "Oh, what's your pussy like?" Like I am genuinely like, "Oh, I want to see."
Right.
So maybe it's obviously she's attracted to you too. So there's a mixture of factors here. It makes sense.
My feeling is like, if she's okay with it, I'm okay with it. Because I think like our main fear in instances like that is like that behavior or that instance is going to make someone less attracted to us. But obviously if she was so into it, I think it would make her less attracted if you were pushing her away. And as long as you feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And like if your only discomfort lies in like fear of losing intimacy, then I wouldn't really worry about it. And like, wow, you just got a free exam that would have cost like $200 if you went to the doctor.
Right?
So, win-win.
Okay. All right. "Torn between two dicks. Please don't use my name." Okay. "A couple months ago, I was seeing this guy who was 10 plus years older than me and everything was great. The sex was great. He cooked for me. He has a beautiful home, 3 bedrooms, no roommates. In a very expensive city, it's a big deal. And our personalities just clicked, even with the age difference. He ended things to give things a chance with an ex, which I completely understood, and we remained friends. I just started seeing a new guy, and he is, so far I mean, it's only been a month, very nice, and the sex is fine, but nothing great. He is a lot more passive than I prefer in bed, but that's probably something we could work on, especially since I made him start listening to your podcast for some tips. He is kind and willing to listen to me ramble on endlessly about work and friends with no complaints, and is the kind of guy anybody could introduce their parents to. The older guy recently told me that things didn't work out with him and the ex and is interested in getting back together to talk about things once we are back from the holidays. I want to ask the new guy if he would consider keeping things casual for a little while, but I'm not sure how to tell him that my sexual needs aren't being met and I need to get this older guy out of my system before I can consider anything further with him. Any advice will help. I'm starting your podcast from the very beginning and I've had so many awkward moments bursting out laughing at work. Keep it up. P.S. For context, here's the picture. Guy with the beard, the older guy. This is the new, okay. Okay, this is the new one. There you go, Corinne. Very handsome. And this is the older guy, I guess. Very hot. And then this is her, just so you know. Okay, well, okay, there's a lot of issues going on here. And one of them is that the guy that you're currently with, first of all, you've only been hooking up with him for a month. It's not like your boyfriend, girlfriend. So things are going slow. How are things? I don't know how you slow things down. You're just fucking and you're having a good time together, but you're getting to know each other. I don't know. I've never met somebody. And then with, maybe that's a lie. No, because when I met Steven, I've known him for a year. So I, you know, it's not, it's a short amount of time to be like, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, right? Unless you both are just equally obsessed, but the sex isn't good yet. So give it a second. And also getting this other guy out of your system, the older guy who wanted to see if shit worked out with his ex, the sex was better with him and you like him and he seems like a great person. Also, you could date one of these guys. You could date neither of these guys. Enjoy the time you have, but you got to ask yourself, who do I want more? Who do I want to hang out with? Who do I want to fuck? Whose house do I want to go over? Who do I want to come over my house? And if the answer is this older guy, then get rid of the other guy.
Wait, was the thing with his ex resolved? The older guy?
He went back to his ex to kind of see if things would work out, and then it didn't work out. Which honestly, that doesn't bother me. I know that, like, you could be like, well, I guess if I wasn't good enough. But sometimes with an ex, you just want to make sure, and then you get back together with them and you're like, oh, no, I am sure. So I actually, that doesn't bother me at all.
It depends. I don't think it's a problem. For me personally, it would be a problem, but that's just because the kind of person I am. Like, if you're not smitten with me from the beginning, like, I'm not going to try and fucking win you over. But I don't think it is a problem for everyone. It's not I don't think it's like
you're disrespecting yourself.
Yeah, no, I don't think that at all. It just depends on what person, like, what your personality is like.
Yeah, and also, look, sex can obviously get better with people, but the character traits that you're listing that this person has that you're with now or that you're seeing now, he kind of seems passive, which seems to have leaked over in bed, and obviously you can work on that with communication, but maybe he might not be sexually compatible.
Yeah, I think the key is what Christina said, was just like, maybe the answer is neither one of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't always have to be one of the people who just happen to be people that you're having sex with. Like, yeah, you could trash both of them in a nice way and start fresh.
As somebody who, I feel like I'm kind of seeing two people right now, and I would, whenever I talk to my friends about it, I'm like, well, this one is this and this one is this. But at the end of the day, it's like, who gives a shit? Just go with the flow, figure it out, work, don't rush things. Trying to predict things in the future, I think it's good to be cautious, but also, like, I don't want to put expectations on where I want this to go. It's going to go where it's going to go. So it might work out with one of them. It might work out with neither. At the end of the day, you have yourself, and that's the best relationship you could ever have.
Oh, indeed.
Got a little Oprah on your ass.
Indeed.
And also, seeing two people doesn't suck.
It depends. I was like, sometimes I get tired. I'm like, ugh.
Well, when they're both preoccupied with other things in their life, it's kind of nice.
Yes.
Like, so they're not just like obsessed with you all the time.
Okay. So thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We try to do one or two of these ones where it's just us and the listeners about once or twice a year. And have a very Merry Christmas if you celebrate. If not, enjoy whatever you're doing with the three options that you have of things that are open.
Yeah, Chinese restaurants, movies, always clutch.
You know, this Christian-centric world that we live in.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, but you know what? You're going to have so many good sales.
True.
You can, like, run. Well, don't, not the day after his returns, but, you know, do whatever you do. Enjoy the day, enjoy the ghost town, walk around, maybe it'll snow where you are.
Try to enjoy it. A lot of times holidays can bring out stress because then you're forced to see family members that maybe you don't have ideological similarities with. But you know what, it's also possible to just enjoy their company for what it is and just talk about, you know, how big the tree is this year versus how big it was last year. And you don't have to talk about
I just think that's the best case. Just you can find other ways to connect. You're like, I would love to see a movie called, like, you know, Claire changes her mind, her family's mind on Christmas, but that's not going to happen.
Cynthia convinces her dad that Black Lives Matter is not a terrorist organization.
Exactly.
And that Colin Kaepernick kneeling is actually for an amazing cause that should be followed.
Exactly. Oh, it's boy. Just, I hate to tell you that it's not going to make a difference, but it's really not. You're just going to cause a fight.
This Christmas, I am just hanging out with my brother and my nephew.
Oh, yeah?
For the first time, my first time in my whole life.
Why?
Because my parents sold their house and they're in Texas for Christmas.
Oh.
So, but I'm actually excited.
Oh, yeah. No, that'd be great. I mean, that'd be so fun.
It's so Christmas. Christmas has been amazing in my household and it's been a huge light in my childhood and when I look at years past, but like, wow, I'm excited to just hang out with my brother.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, when you're a kid, Christmas is just more exciting because, you know, you have Santa Claus and everything. Like, as an adult, it's like, day of.
It's all
like,
right. Yeah. You drink more beer than you maybe usually
do. Day of is, it's like, wish we all had bigger houses. Because I'm stuffy.
Open a window.
I feel suffocated.
Yeah. All right, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy whatever
Hanukkah's
the
long
other.
Over.
Well, hope you had a happy Hanukkah.
It was fun. I had a good time.
I did too. I lit my menorah that Corinne gave
you
me.
You did?
Yeah.
You did?
But only half of it.
That's
like,
okay. Well, that's why, because you had told me on day four and I was like, you look good. Thank you, still have four more days.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Jews leave you some room.
Yeah, and I put newspaper down so that the wax didn't get on the windowsill.
Perfect.
Oh, shit.
Perfect.
Yes, have happy holidays, guys. Thanks for being by our side. We love you lots. And
Don't drink and drive.
To say you sedate me. Simply understating the troubling truth. It makes me feel so crazy to say you're uncertain. Tells me you're too immature and it makes me feel like such a burden. Baby, you can try not to mind. Love a boy who brings you joy. Boys are toys and that's all they'll ever be. You can say you Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy group that enables you to improve your mental health from anywhere at any time. Get matched with a licensed therapist from over 2,000 choices and message them whenever you need to. No commutes and no judgments. For a special offer for our listeners, visit Talkspace.com/GWF and use code GWF to get $45 off your first month and show your support for the show. Talkspace, it's therapy for how we live today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.